Hello and welcome to In This Economy, the podcast where people from Zimbabwe and around the world discuss how they are navigating life in the current economic circumstances. With me, your host, Kim Nyajeka. As this is a solo episode, there is no need for a very awkward introduction other than to say, welcome to the podcast. If you are new here or this is your first episode, welcome to the platform. I do hope you enjoy the content and enjoy, you know, going back the last four seasons. And if you are a regular, loyal listener, welcome back. So the middle child slash oldest daughter slash all girls high school slash law graduate in me, i.e. that's every little bit of me that makes me a bit of a perfectionist, felt the need to close off this season for this era, for the TikTokers, this era, with the solo episode. So as haphazard as the season has been, I think it's been good. I really enjoyed the episodes. I enjoyed putting them together, recording, editing, doing all of that good stuff. And I can only promise in the future to be more consistent as I get more grounded with the realities of life as it is right now, you know. Firstly, you've seen the title of the episode. We're discussing the economics of anxiety. And this is sort of just me. I'm going to be talking about, you know, my mental health slash life update, you know, everything that's going on with me right now, just to touch base with everybody and all that. So just a trigger warning, I will be discussing themes of anxiety. And if that's not really your vibe for the day, or, you know, whenever, whatever time you're listening to this, or it's not something you care to or not in the right space to listen to right now, now's the time to cut off. Just you can stop listening and go. I think when you listen for 2 minutes, that counts as a listen, for the sake of my stats. I'm not kidding. But jokes aside, those are the themes will be that'll be the overarching theme of this episode. So if you're not here for it, all good. I'll catch you in the next one. Do follow us on social media for the next episode at In This Economy Podcast on Instagram, and follow me, your host, at Kim Nyajeka on Twitter. And then you'll, you know, just get a notification, or just go to a previous episode, you know, a non-mental health related one, if you can find one. But yeah, a lot of them are safe. But yeah, so what inspired me to talk about this and to round up the season for this is I was really thinking about, you know, what was the cause for the haphazard posting of episodes, what made me procrastinate, and what was taking the joy away from content creating. And I've been pretty open in past episodes about my mental health issues, and that I struggle primarily with anxiety. You know, I have been in therapy for the last couple of years, for the last almost a year, just over a year now. I've been taking medication for my mental health, for my anxiety, and that's just been a whole journey, right? But anyone who's had to deal with mental health issues, with anxiety or anything, knows that one of the many, many symptoms is procrastination. You just, you know, kind of put things off. Even things that you would typically enjoy, you just put it off, waiting till last minute. I'm really bad with timekeeping, but a lot of things were impacting my productivity, both professionally and creatively. And when I was sitting and thinking about it, you know, through therapy, I've learned about journaling, which honestly, I really was into for a while, and then I just don't because I procrastinate. You know, it's a vicious cycle. You get anxious, you procrastinate, and then you get anxious because you're procrastinating, and so on and so forth, right? But I decided just to write down some of the things that were making me anxious and causing me anxiety, and that led me to be like, oh, this could be an interesting episode to explore the top 10 things that are currently weighing on me, that are making me anxious. And I overshare, which again is another symptom of like mental issues, according to, you know, social media, but also just sharing so that people, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing in this whole life thing, right? And I wouldn't want anyone feeling like they're alone, but also I also don't want to feel alone. So if I share things and then people engage on, you know, with me on some of the things they're going through, or, you know, if you're going through it too, I guess it helps to feel a little less alone in this world, you know? I guess this is why millennials feel like, oh, what I'm going through is not so unique, but people need to listen to it because I believe I'm the voice of my generation, all of that stuff. It's just the millennial in me that feels the need to overshare, but also just to be like, listen, this life thing is kicking all of us in the ass. We don't know what we're doing. I'm most of the days like, what the fuck is going on? But hey, we locomote, we move. I don't know how many more we moves we have. I have left in me, but I just thought I would share with everyone, anyone listening, the top 10 things that are giving me anxiety, that are eating into my time and my productivity and making me a less productive member of society. I'm not contributing to the economy as I should be because, number 10, the state of the world, global affairs. I've been one of those people who watch the news and something will just be like, oh my gosh, you know, whether it's the global economy and this alleged recession, this recession that's going on, prices going up everywhere, inflation, countries changing their immigration policies, because anyone Zimbabwean, African, developing country knows that, like, we trying to get up out of here, okay? When countries change their immigration policies, COVID resurgence, all the new diseases that are coming up because of climate change itself, the war in Ukraine, foreign policies of the major powers in this country, China visiting Russia, all of it, you know, just things are just not well. And I think because, I mean, I was born in 1993, so I've experienced quite a few global crises, both economic, a lot of wars, like the war on terror, things got really bad. Things are constantly, like in the last 10 years, my whole life have just been going crazy in the Middle East and all of these wars in Europe. And just, there's just so much going on and it really affects me. And I have this amazing skill, which is great, like analytically and for critical thinking. But like when I see something happening, like in a global crisis, I automatically just figure out like the trickle down on how it's going to affect my life, me personally, as a person, as I am in Zimbabwe, like little me, because, you know, that's, I guess, I don't know. I guess we all synthesize information like that to an extent. But I think a part of it is just a little story time. So in 2020, I got an internship at the WTO, which was great. It was a lovely experience. But like Trump's policy, the policy of the Obama administration and Trump administration, to a certain extent affected me having my internship turn into an actual job, you know? Like, the US policy at the time was just blocking a lot of the functioning of intergovernmental organizations. For the WTO specifically, it was like the dispute resolution, you know, where countries would go and argue about their economic and trade policies. And there was this body called the appellate body that would appoint like sitting judges who each had like a term, right? They were called appellate body members, but they were essentially judges, just to keep everything in layman's terms so that everyone can understand. And the United States has been blocking appointments of those judges because those judges sit for a specific period of time. And when their term ends, all the countries vote. And because unlike other intergovernmental organizations, the WTO is one country, one vote. So everything has to be by consensus. Everyone has to agree. So the USA was just blocking appointments of these judges to basically paralyze that dispute settlement mechanism. I interned in the dispute settlement portion of the WTO in that division. So by the time my internship ended, there was no work. So there was no room for me, so I couldn't continue. That's a small part of it, you know. Only my supervisors and all those people would know about my performance, you know, during the pandemic, because it was 2020, you know, by April, we were in complete lockdown, no longer going to the offices, all that. Maybe my performance wasn't that good. I don't know. Maybe I just also wasn't prepared. And, you know, maybe it just wasn't my time to be there. All those factors considered. But like, and government, the US government policy at that time impacted me being able to get a job, which is wild, but like it impacted me directly, right? Like, so, you know, the state of global affairs does give me anxiety because I, you know, couldn't continue in what I thought or considered my dream job to be at that time because of another country's foreign policy, as me as a little Zimbabwean. So I think that's one of the many reasons why global affairs are kind of triggering right now, because I also think about my future and the future of my children and blah, 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 and how things are going and, you know, all of that. So that's number 10. Number 9, the end times narrative. Anyone who's I've listened to previous episodes know I am a Christian, right? And guys, what is going on? Like, I don't know. You know, when I see these pastors and preachers on the socials talking about end times, you go through revelations, things are feeling kind of revelation-y right now. And that gives me anxiety. Not because I'm not looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. I think we all do. But I'm a human as well. I'm scared of the trials. I'm scared of the tribulation. But also, there's a part of me that's also like, listen, if the world is ending in the near future, and I will explore this a little bit more later, but if the world is ending in the near future and I didn't get to experience certain things, like if this is it for me, I'm gonna go, you know, to heaven and be like, Lord, what was that? Like, what was the point? You know, I'm very concerned or scared about not fulfilling purpose or not reaching that point of fulfillment, because I'd be lying if I said I am completely content and fulfilled. And it's something I pray about a lot, is this feeling of just like, ugh, you know, my life is like, ugh, I'm in Zimbabwe. I, you know, corporate life is not for me. I'm single. I haven't had kids. I really feel like, you know, I'm meant to be someone's mother. It's just, it's how I feel, you know, in any capacity, whether I have the opportunity to have kids or not, you know, all of those things. So if the world was to end, say, I don't know, tomorrow, I would be like, what was that? Like, what was that about? You know, I didn't do anything great. I didn't have that much of an impact. What impact was I supposed to have, you know? So it being like the end times, that's the part, you know, me not reaching purpose or experiencing certain things, that it feels like everyone else around me gets to or is experiencing. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but that makes me anxious. If I think about it for too long, I just get in a tizzy. It's paralyzing. So yeah. Number 8, the state of the Zimbabwean economy. Guys, that Gold Mafia documentary just causes pain, because I mean, we knew there was corruption, but the extent to the corruption, and this is just two sectors they're talking about, gold and tobacco so far. If you haven't watched the documentary, you should check it out. I might drop a spoiler or two, just a fair warning, as I'm, you know, doing this little rant, just oversharing here. But like, most of my life, this economy has been in disarray. But now, as like an adult who's trying to, you know, figure things out and build a life for themselves, I mean, the economy, I'd be lying if I said it's not a cause for concern. It's a huge cause for concern, because I'm so grateful. You know, my parents have given me the softest landing that I can sit here and, you know, do a podcast and talk about it. But like, the state of the economy is very scary, not just for me as an individual, but like, I guess I have a lot of compassion and empathy for people who are not as privileged as I am or as blessed as I am, because, you know, I really believe that when you're blessed, you have to be a blessing unto others, right? And I do my best to try to be as generous and as charitable as I can in my capacity, and to help whoever needs help, whether it's financially, whether it's moral support, whatever it is, right? But there's only so much I can do as an individual, and it just gives me anxiety about how unfair things are and the limited impact we have as individuals, and how just the system is. We have a government that doesn't care about us. But I mean, that just leaves a lot of things in our hands as citizens. We have to take care of each other. We have to take care of ourselves, and we have to take care of each other, but we can only do so much. And knowing that whatever wealth we think is in the country is just controlled and subject to so much corruption, as with most African states. I mean, there's corruption all over the world, but the state of the economy is so unfair. It's scary. And something that also gives me anxiety about the state of Zimbabwe is that, you know, this year is an election year, and just feeling so hopeless that even if I am to vote, yes, I'm exercising my democratic and constitutional duties and rights and blah, 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 and all of that. But like, what is it going to change? What are we going to do? What must happen? And you know, you can just spiral into any kind of rabbit hole and feel so hopeless and anxious, you know, from that. So that's another thing. Number seven. So my therapist has decided to further her studies. And, you know, she's left the country. And that's so wonderful. She is a wonderful counselor, a great human. I really appreciate her, and all the help that she's given me. That being said, she had to close her practice because, you know, she's studying full time, all that good stuff. And it's great for her, but like for me, I'm like, bro, you know, when I started going to therapy in 2020, I was going every week for a session. And then, as you know, I began to improve and learn coping mechanisms, I was going every other week, so twice a month. And at this point, I've been going once a month, but like now it's just done. Like, you know, and she didn't leave me hanging. You know, she did give me contacts to other counselors and therapists that are available. But like, I don't want to start my story again from the beginning, you know? And you know, we had a rapport, she got me, and as things were changing and everything that was going on in my life, like she played such a pivotal role in my healing and me getting to this point, right? That when she closed the practice, I'm like, what must happen? What am I supposed to do? And that gave me a lot of anxiety. But the upside of this is, unlike the other scenarios, you know, I mean, the other three things that were giving me anxiety is, with this, I can always look back on my previous journaling, on the exercises that she gave me, and I realized that I have some pretty good coping mechanisms and I can figure it out. And you know, I still, and whenever I need help, you know, again, she didn't leave me hanging. There are people, places I can turn to. So I'm really grateful for that and grateful to her. But like, bro, when I got that message that she was shutting down her practice, I was like, so where am I going to unpack, explore my feelings? Where am I going to be led? But like, you know, I'm also realizing I'm at a point where, in my last couple of sessions, I'm not going to lie, I felt like I was rehashing a lot of things, but I also felt like I was explaining how I was dealing with those things better than I had been in the past, like previously. So, you know, we thank God for progress. We thank God for healing, and, you know, we move. So, yeah. Number six, another thing causing me anxiety has been creating content. I struggle with comparing myself to people. And when I really like a content creator, I will watch all of their stuff or listen to all of their stuff, but inevitably I will end up comparing myself to them. And the people who inspired me to start podcasting, I sometimes compare myself to them a lot. And I'm like, oh, when there were four seasons and they were doing this, and I'm still at this point. And, you know, that's also something that's in my control. I can reframe and, you know, switch up how I'm thinking about things, but it doesn't change the fact that that will cause me anxiety. And I think it's something that also led to my procrastination, is that I felt like I needed to be doing so much more and having more of an impact and more downloads, going back to my insecurity about the numbers, about this, about that. And it's just, you know, when you again dive down that rabbit hole, it can be a great, great source of anxiety. Another layer to this, I guess, is that a lot of my personal beliefs as a Christian, as a feminist, as, I guess, someone, you know, as a socialist, as someone who really believes in equality, social justice, intersectionalism, and all that, a lot of those beliefs for me have been challenged in so many ways over the last couple of years, I would say, but more so last year, like 2022, where I was thinking very deeply about who I was, who I am, and what I believe in, and the things that influenced me to get to the point of where I am now. And because of that, I was feeling like I'm not making content that's like, quote unquote, deep enough, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like I don't have one theme or one topic and I'm kind of helter-skelter and haphazard and all of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I felt like, ugh, I need like a niche. I need to talk about deep and, you know, political and social justice-based issues. Like, I felt a lot of pressure to really like create that kind of content, which is interesting because in season one, in the first season, I really was saying, you know, I'm very insecure about having something that's like too educational and too hard-hitting and borderline journalist. And now I'm feeling like, okay, I need to make more hard-hitting stuff. I need to be more aggressive. And that was giving me anxiety because I'm like, what is my voice? What am I trying to say? When someone listens, what do I want them to pick up about me as a person? You know, I was attaching some of me and, you know, this being, of course, it's a reflection of me because you're listening to me talk right now, but like, just this unnecessary pressure. Do you see how anxiety works? Even saying it out loud right now, I'm like, girl, that does not make any sense because you talk about a lot of things. A lot of things. And I cover a lot of social justice issues. And I think I guess I put pressure on myself for wanting to do those issues justice and not being afraid to talk about them because I won't talk about them or approach them in the exact same way as someone else would. And in comparing yourself to someone else, they become the standard. But really, I mean, that's not a thing. You know, I'm never going to sound like or be like a lot of the other podcasters I listen to because they are them and I am me. Hey, therapizing myself as you listen. So yeah, those are some of the anxieties I have about, you know, content creating and, you know, going into the YouTube. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? All of that good stuff. And I forget that, you know, I'm here to have fun with it. I'm here to talk about things I care about and that interest me, that I want people to know, to educate myself while educating others. So I won't shy away from those hard-hitting topics simply because I don't want to cover them exactly how someone else would. I want to do them in my own way. Excuse me. And through my own voice and use the platform to also figure that out. So I guess that's that on that. Number five. We're already halfway there. Number five would be being a good friend. That gives me a lot of anxiety. Not because my friends are not great. I have been blessed with so many beautiful people in my life that just pour so much into me, and I hope I do the same for them. That being said, one of my negative core self-beliefs as an individual that I discovered while in therapy was that I never used to believe that I was a good person. I didn't believe I was particularly likable, only because of past experiences and things that I would overthink, or just bad experiences that, you know, come with growing up and all of that kind of stuff. But like, and also with a lot of friendships, a lot of significant friendships in my life have ended or fizzled out or whatever it is, right? And I sometimes feel like I'm not a good enough friend to my friends. Like, I'm not keeping up with everyone. I'm not texting, calling, blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to make the excuse that I'm a bad texter, but let me put it like this. I prefer spending quality time with people. And for me, talking on the phone isn't necessarily quality time, especially if we live in the same place, you know, in the same city. Of course, a lot of my friends have left the country, and they are in different places, and we have no choice but to catch up on the phone. But sometimes I just feel like it's just so tiring, and it feels less authentic. Like, I love spending time with people. I love doing stuff with people. I've gone on solo vacations. In my opinion, they suck. That's just my opinion. Another little story time. While I was doing my master's in Europe, I took a trip to Italy the first time I went. And I went by myself. And it was great. It was beautiful. It was Milan. It was nice. It was, you know, everything was chef's kiss. Lovely, right? But like, I was bored as well, you know. I went into that fancy Duomo Cathedral. And again, it was nice. But like, as soon as I got in, did the little tour, I was like, okay, I have no one to share this with. I have no one to talk about this with. I've seen funny things. And, you know, I'm shy. I'm scared of talking to people. So I have to ask other people to take pictures of me and all of that kind of stuff. Like all of that. Like, I just didn't enjoy it. And there are people who love solo trips, and that's great. Like, do you, boo? Do you? That's not me. I love being around people and doing stuff and planning stuff and doing nice things for my friends and grand gestures and all of that. I just worry that because I'm not so active on my phone, that makes me like a bad friend or a bad person, or, you know, not always touching base or not always looking for them, or, you know, just not always having energy to pour into my friendships every single day. It makes me anxious. I know that's not the case, but that's just number five. And number four is pretty much the same thing, but it's being a good family member to my extended family. You know, I love, you know, my cousins, especially the young ones, so dearly. Aunts, uncles, I love you all, whoever's listening, so, so, so much. But like, I don't always have the energy to go and see people and spend time with them and reply texts. Again, same thing. And sometimes I feel like a bad person because I'm not doing that, you know? But sometimes I don't have the energy to be able to like pay that much attention, especially on the phone. I prefer to come to your house, but I'm also very tired, so I would like to sleep. But with family, there's an extra layer that sometimes I feel like, okay, there'll be more understanding, you know, because we're related. Like, ah, oh, no, they know I love them, you know, I'm gonna see them over Easter, or over Christmas, or at the next holiday, the next gathering, the next whatever, you know. And sometimes I just feel like when I'm tired or feeling anxious or struggling mentally, I am not the most present person. And I guess some of these things also come from, sometimes I feel like, whether intentionally or unintentionally, people have made me feel guilty for struggling to keep in touch or struggling to be present. Especially times when I've been going through, you know, a tough period, mental health wise, you know, you open up to people about it and they're like, yeah, you know, but sometimes in life, things don't always work out the way you want them to, or sometimes, you know, blah, 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 but this is important, blah, 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 all of that kind of stuff. And whether it's intentional or not, I struggle to synthesize that kind of guilt. I'd feel the need to overcompensate. Then you overcompensate and then you set expectations. But those expectations have been set because you're overcompensating, not because that's who you truly are. And so now when you are not in an overcompensating mode, then people are like, oh my gosh, what did you do? Why aren't you meeting the expectation that you yourself created? And so on and so forth. You know what I mean? A lot of rabbit holes, a lot of spiraling, a lot of that. And that's something that sparks anxiety. I think what helps with that for me personally is getting a lot of reassurance. And I'm grateful to have friends that understand that, but I'm also grateful to have family that are very understanding of that too. So shout out to y'all. Number three, we are at the top three things that are causing the anxiety. Number three, I sometimes feel silly for, but it's also very valid, is my singleness. Yo. Why this sparks anxiety is not that I don't have a problem with being single per se, but what causes anxiety is the lack of prospects that I am currently around. Like, the prospect of that changing right now at this very moment are not very high. So the prospects of my singleness status changing are not very high. Like, my DMs are bone dry, you know. I go out all the time, but you know, being from a small town, you're just around the same people, just bouncing back and forth, meeting the same people, doing the same things, quite possibly wearing the same clothes, all that good stuff. Like, it just, I don't know. I just, this environment isn't really conducive to dating and exploring options and whatever, right? So that's a source of anxiety, because I'm just like, you know, Lord, when? Also, how? Who? What must happen? Like, what is it? What needs to change? And I know changing my environment, I don't know if moving is the answer, but I don't want to move somewhere based on the prospect of getting into a relationship. Like, you know, single people will get me, especially people who spent most of their adult lives single like me. It's a cause for concern, and concern only because I guess maybe I put too much value on relationships. But I understand that, like, as single people, we're kind of, especially as women, there's a lot of pressure to be okay with it, or be like, oh, being single is better, or, oh, I need to live, you know, my best city girl life. Or sometimes I feel silly, or I'm made to feel silly for, you know, desiring companionship or wanting a relationship. But I feel like it's a perfectly normal thing, especially when, you know, a lot of people in my inner circle of friends are in relationships or are getting married or are meeting their people, whatever it is. It's like, you know, I feel it's an exaggeration, but I kind of feel like Katherine Heigl in 27 Dresses. But at least she had prospects, you know what I mean? Okay, I've only been a bridesmaid twice, but in my adult life, I've only been a bridesmaid twice, but I don't know. It's just a cause for anxiety because I don't know how that can change. I know these things happen when you're not looking. Good things come to those who wait, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I've heard all the talks. I've watched all the YouTubes. I've read all the articles about how to figure out and navigate singlehood. And I know nothing lasts forever, but like it makes me anxious that I'm just out here. Like it gives me anxiety. So yeah. The second, number two, boom, 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 is my career, my future. I am not where I want to be professionally. Like things are not going well in that department at all. Like I'm figuring out that I'm not like, I girl bossed too hard and became this corporate babes. I'm not a corporate babes, but I also am not 100% certain of what, well, actually, no, that's a lie. I'm very certain about what I want to do. I just don't know how I'm supposed to get there because your girl been applying for jobs. Your girl been applying for schools. Your girl's been facing a lot of rejection, like a lot. Like I have a label in my Gmail for rejections. And right now it's like almost 3 or 4 Gmail pages long. I'll check that out. I'll verify that. But like every time I get a rejection, I just label it a rejection. Not only just to like see it and feel sorry for myself, right? When I'm feeling down. Because you know when you're down, you're just like, oh, I need a reason to feel down or toxic. Stay toxic. Stay toxic, queens. But like also just to ensure that I'm not applying for the same job twice in the same application cycle, if that makes sense. Because I look for opportunities anywhere. I'm always open to opportunities. But like, you know, sometimes companies don't update like their LinkedIn. So you apply for a job, get rejected, and then it'll come up again. I try to be very intentional with how I apply. So I don't want to put that energy into something I've already been rejected for because I forgot that I applied for it, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like I wouldn't want to do a cover letter again or, you know, tweak my CV to suit that position or choose which, you know, abilities and skills I'd want to enhance again, just to be like, oh yeah, wait, I actually got rejected for this position when they posted it earlier. You know, they just haven't taken it off, and somehow, some way, you know, my LinkedIn algorithm or whatever other algorithm is showing me this opportunity again when I've already been rejected. But also, if you fill the post, take. Anyway, that being said, I'm just not where I want to be professionally, and I'm really trying to change or find different opportunities or change course. And you know, you've heard the saying, you do the same thing a million times hoping for a different result. You know, you're insane. But I really just don't know what else to do. Like, I have had my CV professionally edited. I've entered career coaching sessions, application coaching sessions. I have had so many consultations. I've had so many mentors, so many, I don't know what to do differently at this point, but you know, I'm going to keep the course steady because I know what I want to do. I know where I think I'm supposed to be, and it would be nice to get there. But in the interim, it makes me very anxious that time is moving and I'm just not there. Yeah. That makes me anxious and kind of sad, if I'm being honest. So yeah. Then number one, drum roll. The number one thing causing me anxiety is that this year I am turning 30. my next birth and my next birthday, I will be turning 30. And yeah, I don't know where my 20s went. They feel like a blur. I'm sad that I wasn't more present at certain times, but at the same time, I understand why I wasn't present. I understand that the role my mental health struggles have played in my 20s, but I also understand that the world, as millennials, we've just been dealt this weird card as far as the world around us. So I can't be too hard on myself about the past. I think what it comes down to is just I have to give up hope for a bit of fast and a bit of past. I have to give up hope for a bit of past and just move forward. That's all I can do. But it's turning 30, I don't know why, but it's making me anxious. It's going into this chapter, with this lame career, single with no prospects. And I guess not having a lot, feeling like I don't have a lot to show for my 20s, if that makes sense. The other side of it is I have so much to show for my 20s. Like, aside from my accomplishments academically and professionally, low-key, I guess, I have myself to show. I made it. I survived. I chose life over and over and over and over again. I've chosen not to give up on my dreams. I'm trying my best to live in purpose, to live intentionally, and to figure out what it is I want to do. What are my God-given talents? I know what my gifts are, and I want to just figure out how to use them to make whatever little impact I can, just to shine my light where I'm placed, to blossom, to grow, to bloom wherever I'm placed, and to make some kind of a difference. Not necessarily on a world stage, not for millions of people to see, but just to feel a sense of purpose and a sense of fulfillment that I know can only come from within myself, that I will not get outside. I'll not get it from the world. I won't get the affirmation from a relationship, from a job, from something. But this feeling, this void, for lack of a better term, this vacuum that I know I can only fill, through my faith, through God, and through myself, through me, God working through me, if that makes sense. And I want to do better with being more intentional with figuring that out. But it's also very daunting because I also feel like time's running out because of the affairs of the world, because the world is ending, because Zim sucks, because my therapist isn't around. I also decided to start creating content, but then also that gets in the way of me being a good friend and having the energy to be a good family member. And also on top of that, I'm single with no prospects. So am I ever even going to start my own family? How likely is it that I'm going to start my own family if the end times are coming? But also my job, my career, turning 30, all of it. So everything adds up. And those are the top 10 things that are causing me anxiety at this present moment. Talking about it really helps. And I'm not even going to lie, this episode, just recording it, really helps. If you have any advice or can commiserate or can understand any of these things, please do let me know. My DMs are always open on the socials, just to engage, to chat, or whatever it is. I'm always happy to talk to people. And if you also have advice or opportunities, career opportunities, whatever it is, please do engage, let us know on the socials at In This Economy Podcast on Instagram. Follow me at your host, Kim Nyajeka, on Twitter. podcastinthiseconomy@gmail.com if you want to pen something really long. Whatever it is, I do appreciate your engagement and your feedback. And I guess this brings us to an end to the Orange Era, to the end of season 4. Thank you so much for holding on, for indulging me. I promise even more consistency, you know, this coming season, in the next month. I'm going into another recording cycle, and I'm just super excited to share what I come up with, and where this platform is going. So thank you so, so much. And I guess I'll see you in a couple weeks for season 5. New color theme, new episodes, new everything. So yeah, stay safe, and I'll catch you next season. Thank you.